They please to the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, the book of the Psalms, Psalm 1. We started this sermon last Sunday morning, and we will finish it up today, Lord willing. And we're talking about God's blueprint for a blessed life. And I said to you last week, if there's anything we should want and desire and strive to have here in 2017, is for the blessings of God to be in our life. And when you come to Psalm 1, of course, the psalmist is writing, he's talking about the blessed man, but we must understand that we're also talking about blessed woman as well. If you know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, God wants to do amazing things in your life, but I would also add, if you do not know Christ, your Savior, God wants to do great things in your life as well, and He wants to save you. He wants to change your life and give you eternal life, and He will do that if a person repents and believes the gospel to the saving of your soul. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But in the context of the blessed life, we'll read Psalm 1. So if you found your place, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 1. I love the Psalms, and I love this one here. And what you'll see, just real quick, what you're going to see is there's a contrast. He's going to contrast two different types of lives, two different types of people. He's going to talk about the blessed man, but he's also going to talk about those the wicked. He's talking about the godly man and the wicked man, the godly woman, the wicked woman, if you will. So the Bible says in verse 1, he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight," he's now talking about the blessed man, "his delight is in the law of the Lord," that's God's word, God's Bible, "and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Meditate means to chew on. It means to ponder, literally means to ponder by talking to yourself. So those of you that talk to yourself, claim this biblical promise right here. Anytime your friends say something to you. The Bible says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." When I read verse 3, I honestly want to say to myself, Lord, I want to be that person. God, I want to be that person. I want to be that person. I want to be someone that is blessed of God. He says in verse 6, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of your word. We pray, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us, that he'll direct us today. Lord, we pray that prayer often. And God, I do ask that it would never become repetitive. But Father, I pray indeed that it would be the desires of our heart. That God, that you indeed will lead us, that you indeed will guide us, that you indeed will direct us. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will use your word today to bring us closer to you. I pray, God, as we witness in Sunday school, God, as Brother Stephen challenged us, I pray, Father, that we will make decisions today. I pray that we honestly will willfully make decisions when it comes to your work and will and way in our life. Father, we love you. Please, God, help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God's blueprint for a blessed life. Last week, we noticed just real quick, just to kind of bring us up to speed, is what we're looking at. Last week, we talked about the relationships of the blessed man. When the Bible uses the word blessed here, it literally means it speaks of someone. It speaks of a tremendous and intense happiness. I want to be like that, don't you? Don't you want to be like that? Somebody that's extremely happy. Somebody that just has an intense happiness about them. The psalm, we find a person who has found real happiness in their life. This individual has realized the importance of being plugged in, if you will, to God's word, to his will, to God's ways for their life. And as you saw and as we noticed, just real quick, we noticed the relationships of the godly man, and we talked about his relationships to people. The blessed man, this godly man, understands that they're in life. Life comes down to choices. It comes down to decisions. And the Bible tells us, and it uses three different types of people, the ungodly people. The word ungodly literally means wicked. The prefix un, as we said last week, means not. And it's literally this person is not godly. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he said, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. We talked about the ungodly. We talked about the second group of people were the unholy. And the third group of people were the unruly. And when you look at this context of this portion of Scripture, what the psalmist is wanting us to understand is be careful who you run with and be careful who you listen to. Interestingly enough, as you look at this passage, the Bible in the context of this passage, you'll see says kind of a progression. We also would refer to it often as a digression, if you will. We see the blessed man, he has to be careful of those who he gets counsel from. The Bible tells us that right at the beginning of that, the counsel of the ungodly says he doesn't get his counsel from ungodly people. You see, there are those, ladies and gentlemen, that want to give you advice, but be careful. And we constantly, my wife and I say this to young couples when we meet with them for premarital counseling and they're getting ready to start their life together. We say often to these young couples, especially in marriage, be careful who you get your counsel from when it comes to your marriage. Amen? Can I get a witness in this room? You know, it never ceases to amaze me that sometimes, now you're going to be shocked by this, especially those that are getting ready to get married or you haven't been married very long. You're going to be shocked, but there will come times, I know you're going to be shocked by this, there's going to come times where you're going to have some disagreements in your marriage. Shut my mouth. Are you serious? Yeah. Let me also say this to you. There's going to come times in marriages, we all have this, not our marriage, I'm just reading this from a book, but we sometimes can have difficulties in our marriage. And be careful, though, and I don't know why we're taking this direction, but be careful who you listen to and who you get advice from. Because there will be those, and I know we don't like the process and maybe think like this, there will be those that are ungodly in their counsel. And they're going to counsel you. You say, what do you mean, preacher, by counseling us in an ungodly way? Any counsel that is advice to get you to do something, here it is, press in and hear this. Ungodly counsel is advice from someone that is absolute in violation of the teachings of God's word. You know, it amazes me when people have marital trouble sometimes, and I know this, I've seen this over the years, sometimes you'll say the guy will run to his buddies at work for counsel. You know, you were talking about the buddies that have been divorced 16 times. Hey, me and the wife, what's your thoughts, Earl, about my marriage? Well, I tell you what, my fifth wife, I finally couldn't stand enough. I'm like, why would we go to somebody and get counsel? Like, same way with the ladies. The ladies sometimes, when they have marital trouble, they'll run to their coworkers who they're on their 17th marriage. And they're like, oh, this is what you need to do in your marriage. You got to be careful who you get counsel from. So here's what I would tell you to do. I would tell you to get counsel from those that have been married for a while. Brother and Sister Randolph, they're with the Lord now. They were members of our church for many, many decades. And Brother Randolph, he passed away. He was a little over 100 years old. Mrs. Randolph passed away. How old was she, Bonnie, when she died? 95, 96 years old when she died. Brother Randolph passed away, and 6 months later, Mrs. Randolph passed away. They were married 75, right? Over 75 years. Wow. Yeah. Brother Randolph used to joke, and he would say this, honest, I'm just repeating what he used to say. He said, he was from the South, right? He was from the South. Mrs. Randolph was from the North. And he used to say, he goes, preacher, I'm from the South. She's from the North. We got married, and it's been civil war ever since. That's what he said. But, you know, I remember asking them for advice, and I would say, hey, my wife and I, we do a lot of marriage counseling. We do a lot of marriages as far as ceremonies. I do as a pastor, and I would ask her for advice. You say, why would you do that? I mean, preacher, a 100-year-old, a 96-year-old, why would you ask them for advice? Because they've stuck it out. That's why I would ask them for advice. And they stuck through the difficult times. They stuck through the tough times. That's why. You go to people, get your advice, and I don't know who this is for because this was not my sermon. Get your advice from people that absolutely have a relationship with Christ, and you know they're not going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear, friend. So just, I have no idea what where that came from. But anyway, this counsel, advice, the mindset of people who don't believe in Christ. That's what the psalmist is telling us. He said there are those that do not believe in Jesus. So the constant advice, the constant noise of the wicked, be careful that you don't get that counsel of ungodly. And then he says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So it goes from thinking about it to now, and talking about it to now doing the action. And then notice the last group of people. Nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. That's the image of somebody that now has, they're setting down now. But here's what they're doing. You see, they've talked about it. They stopped, and then they started continuing to listen to it. And now this person is setting down, and here's what they're doing. They're now setting in the seat of the scornful. They're setting in the seat of the mocker. They're setting in the seat of those that mock things that the blessed man sees as important. You see, there are those over the years that have sometimes that used to love spiritual truths and used to love things like coming to church and coming to Sunday school, being involved in ministry. But I'm telling you where they went wrong. My heart before God, I'm telling you where they went wrong is they started listening to ungodly counsel. And they started allowing people to get their ear. And started allowing people to speak into their life. And sadly now, those same people, I promise you I know what I'm talking about in this. Those same people that used to be faithful and used to be involved and used to be absolutely love Jesus with all their heart. You know, sadly, because of listening to the wrong counsel, those same people often right now are the same ones that are giving ungodly advice now. And saying, oh, you don't have to go up. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You're absolutely right. But if you want to be a good one, you should. Really? Yeah. Look in your Bible. Study the New Testament. Those that knew Christ their Savior, it was not uncommon for them to constantly assemble together with other believers in Jesus. So you say, I preach, I don't need a church. Well, saying that you're a Christian and not part of a church is like a quarterback running around saying he's a man running around saying he's a quarterback. Where's your football team? I don't have a football team. Really? You're a quarterback? Yeah, I'm a quarterback. So I would encourage you, and again, that's just some reason on my heart, but I would encourage you to be careful who you get your counsel from. So that's what's important. So many important things. But now we're going to talk about the roots of a blessed man. The roots of a blessed man. You see, this individual who the Bible's going to talk about as somebody that's a blessed man, this man has some roots to him. He has some things that go deep down into his life. And as we see this individual, as far as in the roots of this individual, we're going to notice several things about him. The Bible tells us in verse 3, it had already told us about he loves his pleasure, his delights in the law of God, the law of the Lord, the Bible. He meditates in it. He chews on it. The word meditate also, it's an image of like an old cow chewing his cud. You know what that is, right? Let me give you a really beautiful picture. You know what that is, right? A cow will eat grass. You know what it does throughout the day? Yeah. It regurgitates it up. Or the way we'd say down home, it pukes it back up and it chews on it again. Right? And you say, preacher, that is nasty. But that's the image, that's kind of an image of what it comes to in the context of the blessed man. The blessed man, when it comes to God's word, here's the picture. He's chewing on it all day. He's meditating on it all day. A principle, you say, what do you mean? He's meditating on Genesis to Revelation? It could simply be just a principle. It could be a principle such as, you know, pray without ceasing. Literally means to be in an attitude of prayer. It could be a principle like that. It could be a principle of, you know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It could be principles like that. But he's constantly chewing on it. You say, preacher, why is it of a necessity that we chew on God's word? Because verse 1 talks about the ungodly counsel from those that do not know Jesus as their Savior, perhaps, and they want to they want to get you away from the blessed life. So he says, no, this man meditates in God's word, but he talks now about the roots of the blessed man. And I love verse number 3 because it really just gives us some beautiful pictures. We see, first of all, under the roots of a blessed man, notice the firmness of this man. In the context of verse 3, the psalmist writes, this blessed man, and after he meditates on God's word day and night, the Bible declares he shall be like a tree planted. Underline the word planted. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So this individual, this blessed man, I looked up a lot. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. I not only have a frog in my throat, I have frogs cross his legs apparently for some reason. But anyway, we'll see how it goes. But this blessed man, he's got some roots to him. Yeah, I did some research. Man, I really did. I looked up a lot of research on plants. Aren't you happy for me? I looked up research on trees. And the importance of the root system, right? A tree has to have a good root system. And interestingly enough, when it comes to the root system of a tree, and the Bible talks about this man, this blessed man, he'll be like a tree. So what does a tree do? What is a tree? What does it involve? What is necessary for a tree to grow? What is necessary for a tree to stand firm? Well, got to have a good root system. And in the context of the root system, one root in particular, known as the tap root, it's the root that when it begins to grow from underneath the ground, from underneath the tree there, underneath that plant, it often will go straight down. And what it does, it literally gives stability to that tree. When the winds blow, I also read that it's often, it increases the health of a tree to be involved in storms. When the wind blows, the roots dig in even more. And I thought, wow, pretty interesting parallel, pretty interesting concepts. So let's think about it for a moment. What does the roots do for a tree? Because the Bible talks about he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. So he uses the picture, this blessed man, and he says he's going to look like a tree. You didn't realize that God wants you to look like a tree, did you? Right? You're a tree. You're a tree today. So the roots, number one, they provide the anchor to keep a plant in its place. Think about that for a minute. Let's make some spiritual parallels for a moment. So God says this blessed man, woman, they're going to have roots to them. They're going to have something. Oh, this is good. If you're listening, say, I'm listening. Now, here it is. The blessed man or woman, they're going to have something that anchors their life. That's it. He'll be like a tree. He'll be like a tree that has a root system under him that will anchor. It's going to anchor their life. Something else about the root system. Roots are the lifeline of a tree. I found it's an article entitled, The Importance of Healthy Roots. So if you Google it, you'll research it. What do healthy roots do? Roots are the lifeline of a tree, taking up air, water, and nutrients from the soil. and moving them up into the leaves where they can interact with sunlight to produce sugars, flavors, and energy for the plant. The article says, it says there's a whole world. This is awesome. The article in the context of the tree says there's a whole world of activity underground. The blessed man, if I may add, the blessed man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, the blessed individual is somebody that has a whole lot of activity going on under their life. They have a whole lot of activity that you and I can't see. You see, you and I can't see unless it's uprooted. You and I can't see the significance of that taproot that goes straight down from the tree. We don't see it. But I promise you, if you ever go to pull out bushes, like big old hedge bushes, you'll find those taproots. Matter of fact, it'll drive you crazy trying to pull them out. So this individual that the Bible speaks of, this blessed individual, they've got some depth to them. They've got some stability to them. Something else. So when you come to the hold your place here, and I want you to go to Colossians for a minute. Colossians chapter 2. It's all the way in the New Testament. You got to go a pretty good ways to the right in your Bible, right after the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians chapter 2. God wants you to get some roots, man. Careful of relationships, being rooted in some things. The ungodly, they've got a desire. They've got a desire to get you away from the Lord. They've got a desire to get you away from the blessed life. And friend, with my heart before God today, I sincerely mean this. I don't want anything that would hinder God blessing my life. I don't want anything to come into my life that would hinder God from blessing my life. When you come to Colossians chapter 2, let's just kind of look at the text for a minute. The Apostle Paul, of course, he's writing to a church in Colossae he's never ever been to. But he gives them some outstanding encouragement. He gives them some outstanding admonitions, if you will, on how to live and what to live for. And, you know, just really exalts the supremacy of Christ and the preeminence of Christ. And just really pours out his heart of the significance of knowing who God is and falling in love with him and having a deep, intimate relationship with him. And literally, as you look at that in chapter 1, in the context of who Jesus is and what we are in him if we're born again, that really will give you a foundation to stand on. So in chapter 2, verse 3, let's just start in verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. And notice what he says to these churches here. He says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So he's talking about in Jesus, man, there's treasures in Jesus. You start studying about Christ, you fall in love with Jesus, I promise you, you're going to find some treasures. You start meditating, blessed individual. You start meditating on the Word of God and what you find therein and the power and the stability that comes from having the Word of God in your life. I promise you, I challenge you to do this. You start digging into Scripture. You start digging into the Bible. You're going to find some treasures that you've never seen before. You will. And that's what the Bible speaks. That's what Paul's talking about. Wisdom and knowledge. Verse 4. And this I say. Now notice the transition. Lest any man should beguile you. Look at that. The word beguile means deceive. Lest any man deceive you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. Now notice these words. These are tremendous words. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And now notice verse 7. Look at the first word, rooted. Walk in Christ. And then he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But he talks about Paul says, I want you to be rooted. I want you to be grounded. I want you to be built up in your faith. And the only way you can do that is to be rooted in Christ. So now go back to Psalms and we'll finish this up. So the roots of the blessed man. Because of the root system that he has, there's a firmness to his life. There's stability to his life. Because of the root system that they have, they're unwavering. I had you underline the word. It's really been, it's grabbed a hold of me. Late last night, this morning, it really grabbed a hold of me. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted. I reached out to your son, Michael Jackman. I reached out to him. He's my Hebrew scholar. That's why I texted him this morning. I said, hey, Hebrew scholar. I said, I've got a question. I said, I need you to look up a couple words for me. So he looked them up. But one of the things that he brought out to me, and I thought this was fantastic. He said, preacher, he says, here's what you got to understand. He said, in the Bible, now get this. He said, in the Bible, always, seeds are sown, plants are planted. Isn't that good? You say, I have no idea what that means. Well, process that for a minute. Seeds are sown, but plants are planted. And I remember growing up, my little grandmother down in Kentucky, and being raised there and raising gardens, and she planted. I never understood this because there was four of us, me, my granddaddy, my cousin Timmy, and myself that lived at the house. My grandmother, for those that raised gardens, I promise you, in one garden alone, we had two gardens. One was nearly an acre. One was probably about a half an acre. She planted 300 tomato plants. 300. You know how many tomatoes you get from one plant? She planted 300. But she not only planted them, we did. Me and my cousin, we planted them. Now, my cousin Doug was smart because she thought, and rightfully so, my grandmother thought my cousin Doug was dumb as a box of hammers. But there's a reason, and that's pretty dumb. You've heard dumb as a box of rocks. That's a compliment compared to if they ever call you, you're dumb as a box of hammers. I'm just telling you, I want to help you with this hillbilly language. If anybody ever starts to talk to you and they say, a southerner says, bless their heart, that's not a compliment. I'm just telling you. They're not complimenting you because the next thing they're thinking is, oh, we've got a box of hammer person here. We've got a box of hammers. Bless their little heart. And if they use the word little heart, that means you don't have any heart at all. So they're just insulting you. You don't even realize. And they'll do it with a smile on their face. Right, brother? They'll do it with a smile on their face. And you're like, wow. Big Rose, my little grandmother, she's honestly, she did. She's with the Lord. And every now and then she'd gossip a little bit. Oh, yeah, oh. But here's what she didn't call God. She called it sharing prayer requests, right? Promise. She'd look every now and then. I never will forget one. My cousin Wally and Sue, they're still married. They've been married probably nearly 40 years now. And years ago, my little grandmother would look at me and she'd say, honey. And again, a hillbilly starts with the word honey. Be prepared. And my little grandma said something like this. Prayer request, right? She said, honey, I'd tell you something if I knowed you wouldn't tell it. And before I could respond, she'd say, well, I reckon Wally and Sue are having marital trouble. But honey, you didn't hear that from me. Like, shall we pray? Shall we pray? My granddaddy, one day we come home. My grandmother, man, she's got her arms crossed. She's got her legs crossed, her arms crossed. She's patting her foot. And she's got that look on her face. And a friend of mine was with me. He goes, what's the matter, Rose? And she goes, Ed, that's my granddaddy. She said, Ed said I was possessed. We were stunned. She said, Ed said the devil had me. And the reason all he said was, Rose, get off that phone. You're a gossiping. Ooh, don't do that to Big Rose. Don't say that to her. Where was I? I have absolutely no idea. But here we go. She'll be like a tree planted. I remember planting those tomato plants. And I remember we would plant them. She'd pour a little water in the hole. We'd pack the dirt around it. And the reason we did that was so it would take root. And if it can take root, then it will eventually, as we'll see in a minute, it will eventually bear fruit in its life. I'm telling you, we're going somewhere, and this is going to help you. Because God, here's a thought for you, and I hope you hear my heart in this. If you know Jesus as your Savior, God didn't just save you
to set you in a pew of a Baptist church. That's not why God saved you. God saved you to radically infuse your life with His power. And He saved you to produce fruit in your life and my life. He wants to make you a tree. He wants to make you a big, beautiful tree. A phrase that came to my mind, I wrote it in my notes as I was preparing some other, I've been working on this for a while, and I wrote in my notes yesterday. I said, think about it for a minute. This is, if you know my friend Andy Daugherty, you could see him saying this statement. He said, Tracy, you do know, he said, that all an oak tree is, a big oak tree, a mighty oak. He said, all a mighty oak is, this is Andy Daugherty, ready? He said, all a mighty oak is, he was once a little nut that stood his ground. Think about that for a minute. See, I've insulted y'all today. I've bless your heart, box of hammers. Anyway. But he shall be like a tree planted. There's a lot in that. I believe the Lord plants. I think he still does. I think the Lord plants people in churches, and we have Bible to support that in the New Testament. You see, this blessed man, there's a firmness to him, or her. They stand for some things. They have stability in their life. They're not, like James says, double-minded and unstable in all their ways. You see, the Bible said in the Psalms, remember what the psalmist said? Don't miss this. I wasn't going to go here, but I got to say a couple comments on it. Verse 4, so we've talked about the blessed man. Verse 4, though, he says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They would take a kernel of wheat, and they would crush that kernel of wheat up, and they would, you know, have that beautiful little kernel of wheat, but all around it was chaff. The wheat kernel weighed a lot more than the chaff did. So what they would often do is they would throw the wheat up in the air. The wheat kernel would fall to the ground, but the chaff, the wind would blow. The uselessness, the wind would blow it away. So the Bible, in comparison and in contrast, the psalmist says, the blessed man, he's planted, brother. He's got stability in his life. Here's another thought that came to my heart. I'm thankful to God. We got a lot of trees around here at Emmanuel. I'm not talking about the yard. We cut a lot of those down because they were tearing up the sewer systems. But we got a lot of trees here. You say, what do you mean by that? Process this for a minute. I'm grateful that when I come to Emmanuel Missionary Baptist on a regular basis, whether it be a Sunday, whether it be Sunday school, whether it be a Sunday morning, whether it be a Sunday night, whether it be a Wednesday night, we got some trees. And what I mean by that is, they're always there. I like to play golf. It's been a while since I really played a lot of golf. In some of the courses that I play, if there's a tree on the course, my ball is going to find it. They say, I may be wrong on the statistical number, but I thought I heard that trees are like 90% air. That's a lie from hell. Right? It's a lie. Because I go for the air, but I hit a limb usually. But right? You're picking up what I'm putting down? But these trees, Jesus said, the blessed man, he's like a tree that's been planted by the rivers of water, literally the channel of waters. The water has nourishment. The water brings life. And the roots of that tree will go deep. I read that often in drought, that what a root system will do in the dry seasons is the root system will go even deeper looking for water. You see, the blessed man, he's got some roots. He's got some stability to him. There's a firmness about him. But there's also, notice the fruit of him. This is good. We see the fruit, the Bible said, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Go to Galatians. We'll be done in 5 minutes, but I want you to go to Galatians. You found Colossians, you should go left from Colossians and you'll find Galatians. You see, Jesus wants to produce fruit in your life, and he'll do it. What is some fruit that Jesus wants to produce? Well, Look at the text of Galatians chapter 5. I should have threw it up on the screen, but that's okay for time's sake. Galatians 5, verse 22. You know what the fruit of a tree, of a blessed, you know, the blessed man that's like a tree, he's going to have, they're going to have fruit, the blessed individual. They're going to have fruit in their life, and here's what the fruit's going to look like. Verse 22 of Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you're going to be, you know, the blessed individual, if you're going to be somebody that has a deep root system, you're going to be somebody that has a firmness about you, some stability about you, some faithfulness about you. You're going to, there's no doubt. People know, hey, that person, boy, that they're blessed. That person, they're always in their spot. There's stability. They can be counted on. They're not like the ungodly person that the wind blows them all over the map. They're not like the ungodly person that the psalmist talked about, that you know, they're unstable. They have no root system. They have no depth to their life. But the blessed man, he's anchored. He's anchored in the context. He's anchored in the Bible. He's anchored in the woman, a man, they're a teenager, they're, that loves Jesus. They're anchored. They have a blessed life. They're careful who they listen to. They're careful who they take advice from. They're careful of who they stand around and suck in all the counsel from. They're going to be careful. They're going to watch out to who they set with, who they, you know, kind of run with. They're going to be careful about that. Why? Because what matters most to the blessed individual is what Jesus Christ is to them. They're going to have some firmness about them. They're going to have fruit. The Bible says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. They're going to be a loving individual. Joy. They're going to have joy. Can I get a witness in this building? If you have Jesus as your Savior, you're a blessed individual, there ought to be joy coming out of your life. You ever seen people that's the opposite of that? Yeah, you ever seen them? I've seen them. They're a tree, but they're... Anyway. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. You ever seen them like that? They have no joy in their life. They're cantankerous. I started to say something, but I'm thankful I didn't. Started to name names. No, I'm just teasing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. They have peace in their life. This blessed individual. You ever seen the big old trees? I remember being out in California one time, and is it a sequoia tree? Is that what they call them? Big, huge trees? Sequoia? Maybe, anyway. Sequoias? They have sequoias out there in California, don't they? Right? They do. If they don't, just think they do. I'm going to use it. Don't mess my illustration up. And the pastor... In that area, they didn't have a lot of them. So he goes, hey, I want to take you guys, and I want to show you something. So we drove down the middle. It's near Sacramento. And we drove all over through this little town. And sure enough, he goes, look at this. And he pulls down this little street. And then we look around. And, buddy, there's a sequoia tree. I think it's a sequoia. It's a big, huge tree. And, man, it went way up yonder, way, way up there. You couldn't hardly even see the top of it. And you say, Pastor, what's the significance of that? That tree had been there a long time. You see, that tree had weathered, there's no doubt, that tree had weathered a lot of storms. You see, the man that the Galatians talks about here, this blessed individual, as we looked at that big, and again, I think it was a sequoia, as we looked at that sequoia tree, I thought, and as I think back on that now, I'm thinking to myself, man, look at the peacefulness of that tree. All these other little trees around, but man, he's got stability. The blessed individual, and we'll finish just with Galatians here. The blessed individual, he says he has love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Wow. He's patient. They're patient individuals. Gentleness. Wow. Gentleness means self-control. Goodness. Faith. They're people of faith. Meekness. Temperance there. Self-control is temperance, excuse me. That gentleness means a kindness about them. They're kind. You know, in my life and ministry, I mean this. Some of the most blessed people that I know are some of the kindest people that I know.
Some of the blessed people, most blessed people I know are some of the most gentle people. Are people with faith. And honestly, I know I've used him a lot in illustrations, and a lot of people remember him. Brother Roy Humble. Brother Stephen said just recently, of all the people I've ever met in my life, his last name was absolutely, he was the physical embodiment of humility. I mean, he was a humble person. He had peace about him. He had a gentleness about him. He had a stability about his life, a firmness. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Against such there is no law. The psalmist ends and he talks about his leaf also shall not wither. You see, leaves are important to a tree. As I was researching it, why are leaves important to plants and trees? Leaves are important because they are the primary source of photosynthesis, which is how plants feed themselves. Photosynthesis is a process of turning light, the sun energy, into sugars which plants need to survive. Leaves are very important to a plant's overall health and survival. The psalmist knew it best when he wrote, the blessed man, he's going to have a good root system. He's going to have stability to his life. He's going to have fruit in his life. But he's also going to have favor. He's going to have favor. He's going to have God's favor. They're going to have God's favor in their life. Because when you look at them, they'll be fruit. Yeah, but they're going to have the leaves. They won't wither. There's a tree around here. I noticed, remember when we had all those ash trees? We had a bunch of ash. I bet you we've cut, I'm not exaggerating. I bet you over the years we've cut down 30 ash trees or more. Over the years. When we built the parsonage, we cut 3 or 4 monster ash trees. But one of the things we started noticing, and I would notice, was those ash trees as the leaves began to die and the tree would begin to die in places. It was indicative that that tree was sick. The blessed individual the psalmist talks about, his leaves. Look at his leaves. They shall also not wither. And then don't miss this. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what God says. They're going to be someone that they got a good root system. They've got a lot going on. They've got a lot going on underneath the ground, underneath the surface. You see, there were, as I was studying that out, there were some surface roots. But those really weren't the big deal roots. The big deal roots were like the tap root that went straight down, and then all the other little roots kind of branched off of that. Stability. Question for you. I wrote this in my sermon. I'm going to give the invitation after this question. Who are you? Who are you today? Honest truth. Who are you? I mean, start looking at, do you have stability in your life? Peacefulness in your life? Gentleness? Self-control? Can people look at you and see, wow, man, that's a person that walks with God? Yeah, I mean, the shallowness sometimes, if we're not careful, we can have some shallow areas in our life. But ultimately, Jesus says, I'm going to give you a visual picture of what the blessed individual looks like. And here it is. They look like a tree. They look like a healthy tree. Do you look like a healthy tree today? Or are you like the chaff? Are you like that useless, literally, it has no fruit to it. It's just kind of the powdery stuff left over the wheat kernel. And the wheat and that chaff, the Bible said, the wind, it literally blows it all over the place. So there's instability in the ungodly person. There's instability. There's no fruit in their life. The psalmist said, the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff. The wind bloweth it, it driveth it away. Do you have stability? Are you anchored? Please, I beg you.
If you know Jesus as your Savior, fall back in love with this Bible so that God can produce some fruit in your life and God can anchor you so that you can have a stable, blessed life. That's what God wants to do. Stand with me, please, for an invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. We trust if God's touched your heart, you'll respond. We ask if you're here today and you do not know Christ or watching by internet, you do not know Jesus as your Savior, that you would repent, ask God to forgive you of your sin, and by faith believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. If you've done that and you've repented and believed the gospel, step out one of these aisles. If you're in this room, step out in the aisle, come forward. We would love to baptize you, because the Bible says once you get saved, you're to follow the Lord in baptism. It's very important. It doesn't save you, but it's a picture of your salvation. It's a picture of your identification with Christ. And if the Bible talks about it, it's the answer. It's of a good conscience towards God. So maybe that would be your desire. Maybe you're here, you've been coming for a while, and say, "Preacher, hey, we need a church home. We want to get plugged in. We really, really do. We want to be part of a church that really, you know, can use us. Hey, we'd love to have you. Our doors are wide open. I promise you they are. And we would be honored to have you." Maybe like come to the altar and just pray. Maybe have areas to say, "Preacher, I'll be honest, convicting when I read that passage, because there's really don't have a lot of stability right now." Get back there. Michael said about that plant, he said sometimes that plant can get uprooted. You see, if we're not careful, like watching that corn would grow out of the ground as a kid in the garden, and every now and then the wind would blow the corn over. But one of the things that was a constant, that was constantly present when corn would blow over, is literally the roots had pulled out of the ground. The roots would pull out of the ground. And we used to have to watch, we'd watch that. And I'm like, "Wow, watch it." And man, it wasn't too long, man, it'd be blown over. Maybe the whole reason, it's not an accident. It's not by chance that verse 3 comes right after the verse that talks about his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And oh, by the way, he's like a tree now. You get your life in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you, you'll get stability. I promise you, friend, you'll get stability in your life. God will produce fruit in your life. God will change radically, infuse your life with his power. He'll make you stable. We don't do that in our own power. God's Word does that. God's Word produces that. Maybe you'd like to come and pray. You come as we sing. Brother Steve, what's the number, bud?
Number 312.
312. If you need to look at it in the book, I believe it's on the screen. You come as we sing.